driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Back to the game, hour two. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, and Mitch Fortner all with you at 5:30. Andy Greeter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He covers Minnesota. The news of the day is that K-State has hired former Minnesota head football coach Jerry Kill as an associate AD. He'll be a football administrator, replacing the outgoing Clint Dowdle. So we'll get the Minnesota perspective on things coming up here in about 25 minutes. Mitch has his Jabroni of the Week at 5:50 to wrap up the show as well. You can tweet your questions or comments to the game 1350. Or we can take some calls about Jerry Kill, 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to call the show. Basically, to recap our thoughts, if you missed hour one, I think most, if not all the way around, find this to be a pretty beneficial relationship on both sides, a nice marriage, if you will, between K-State and Jerry Kill. He wanted to be involved with college athletics as closely as he could. Couldn't be a head coach anymore because of his health problems, battling epilepsy. Couldn't get that at Minnesota. They wanted him in a fundraising role instead of actually working in administration with the athletes, more or less, which is what he really wants. He gets it here at K-State. He'll make $150,000 to do so, and K-State gets a good football mind, who, by the way, I remember hearing some advocate for as Bill Snyder's replacement. He'll be here as a football mind that presumably you could bounce ideas off of, and just good to get a mind like that here on board with you, especially when he had other options.
As a football fan, I love this move, and I love it even more from a perspective of from someone that used to suffer from epilepsy. All that he's done for that community and all that he did while he was at Minnesota, both on and off the field. I'm just really excited to get the chance to meet him for the first time because I've been a big fan of his for a while, and I was absolutely thrilled by this news that came out late last night.
And a good fit from a standpoint of knowing the area. He is a Kansas guy, born in Cheney, played at Southwestern, coached at Pitt State and Emporia State.
Here's what I like about this hire. I haven't got to share my two cents yet.
You like it because it brings your guy Tracy Clays from Clay Center back to the forefront somewhat. And he gets mentioned in all these articles.
There's definitely that possibility. I'd love to see Tracy Clays wearing some K-State purple again.
Well, I didn't even mean it like that. I just mean the articles all mention Tracy Clays He's now the coach at Minnesota.
He's a great coach. But I like Jerry Kill coming to K-State because not only is he a Kansas guy, but he didn't grow up with a lot of money. He grew up with the mentality of when you work hard, you get what you want. And because he didn't have the best upbringing, certainly, and he's battled a lot of issues, including his epilepsy. So, and another thing I like about when he's at Minnesota and when he's been at other places, he hasn't had any big scandals on his plate.
Yeah.
He hasn't been in any trouble. He kind of reminds me of the Coach Snyder mentality when you bring your hard work and you're going to learn something, you're going to be rewarded, and he's now going to bring that to K-State.
And everyone loves him.
100% agree with that. I mean, I think fit-wise, which is something John Curry used over and over again during the luncheon the other day when talking about Bill Snyder's potential replacement. Again, I don't do this to suggest at all. Jerry Kill says he's not going to coach. I don't think that's going to happen at all. But fit, when hiring anybody in the athletic department here, this guy fits that all the way around. I mean, to a T. Just anything you could really want. It fits in very well here, Jerry Kill does. And seems like a beloved figure at Minnesota. More on that at 5:30. But as far as the next head coach, it's not going to be him. And again, we have a couple different cuts here of Jerry Kill mentioning that he is completely done as far as coaching is concerned. Here is one of them. Apologies for the dog barking. His dog barking in the background of this teleconference, but he is not going to coach.
I cannot ever be a head coach. And okay. Just the way my life is going to be. And I'm very understanding that. My next journey is this journey, and, you know, my way of being a part of student-athletes and being part of a football program is just this.
Was the moderator of this teleconference using Windows 98 or something?
No, that was the sound every time somebody joined.
Ah,
so it meant somebody joined. That was right after the teleconference started. So that tells you how early on it was in the thing that he was wanting to get out there that he's not going to be a coach. So this is not a head coach in waiting situation at all here at K-State with Jerry Kill. But he still could have an impact on the next head coach because if he's around and you're trying to make that hire, I would think he's somebody that you would consult. It would make sense, right? I mean, he's got a lot of connections, not only around here in the state, being a Big Ten head coach, all the different stops that he has had, being in the MAC, You know, I think he would have some MAC connections, and a lot of times up-and-coming coaches come from the MAC. He was a former Northern Illinois head coach. And I'll float this out there. I know this is another one for the conspiracy theorists of the world, but he's very good friends with Gary Patterson. He was the best man in Gary Patterson's wedding. So,
TCU way to head stoke coach, that fire.
I'm just putting it out there. And whether or not that means that would have any kind of influence on Gary Patterson, I think that is more than a pipe dream as far as him being the head coach here. But I think it suggests the guy's got friends in the coaching business. So that's a good sign, and that would be a good thing to have on your side when you're trying to find the next head coach.
And it's not just what he brings to the table from a consultation perspective, but it's the fact that I think that the next coach at Kansas State is going to want to report to someone and work with someone that has a football IQ like Jerry Kill does. You know, you look at things from a day-to-day operations standpoint. If you are, say you're Bill Snyder right now, but if you're going to be the new head coach at K-State, you're going to want to work closely with someone that understands all of the terminology that you're going to be using. And it doesn't even have to be work-related. You can just, you know, get together over dinner or something and just talk football. I mean, I think that Jerry Kill is going to be a significant factor in K-State's next coach, not just because of who he knows, but because of the relationship and the friendship that he could build with whoever it's going to be.
Well, that is true, and if he's here for a year or two and knows the ropes at that point, knows what's going on, he obviously will have a relationship with the athletic department, the athletic director, and he would be a guy to help out whoever the new guy is going to be, help out that relationship between athletic department, athletic director, and head coach. We're saying that that's going to be one of the big pluses here, that he's going to do that with Bill Snyder and John Curry. Obviously, that can translate to the next guy as well, between new football coach and John Curry. And I would think that a football coach, much like I'm sure Bill Snyder does, would respect and like the fact that it's, again, a football guy instead of a guy with more of an administrative athletic director type of background.
And, you know, you mentioned the fact in the first hour you were surprised that he's only 54 years old, maybe a little younger than you were expecting. Well, because he's not going to be a coach, and because I don't really see him as a guy that would be a potential like future actual athletic director or something like that, you get the feeling that he could be in Manhattan for a very, very long time in this position as long as he's happy with what he's doing, because it's not a profession where there's a really steep ladder that he's trying to climb up. He's not going to take the football consultation job at the University of Alabama or something like that, trying to move up in the ranks. I think that he's just looking for a place where he can be happy, he can settle down, and he can be around people that share his value system, which appears to be right here in Manhattan.
Well, that goes back to fit. That can be a part of the fit. You know, the fit works out well enough that that's why he wants to be here. And I'm with you on that, because I think he had offers that would have been, you know, I don't know if it's Alabama, but I think if you have other offers, it could be more prestigious programs potentially, but this is around where he's from and a place that he obviously wants to be. So I would plug that right back in with fit. So I think he can help from that standpoint. And if he is going to be here for a while, he could help out the next head coach. He could help out in choosing the next head coach. And really, there's just no downside to having a mind like that in the room. I mean, I would equate it to, you know, if we're trying to do our sports talk show here every day, I don't know if you had like, now this is a little bit different because it's a reach as far as the name here, but you know, if you have like Colin Cowherd sitting in every day just helping you out, just there to bounce ideas off of, I would take that help.
Give me Dan Patrick, please.
Okay, fair enough.
Please
Dan Patrick.
Give me Dan Patrick.
You have Dan Patrick. That's a good call. We'll promote what we have on the air. You can hear Dan Patrick from 2 to 4 every day here Came In. If Dan Patrick's in the room just helping us do the show, plan out the show every single day, throw ideas off of him, there's no real harm, I would think, that could come from that.
Yeah, and not to mention the other connections in sports radio that Dan Patrick has, and it applies to the football program as well. All the friends that Jerry Kill has, it really does not seem like, and we could be wrong on this because as of right now, we're still outsiders to the inside world of Jerry Kill. We're going to have to work on, you know, getting to know him more and learning more about him, but it doesn't seem like the guy has made any enemies over the course of time. It seems like everyone he's ever worked with, everyone he's ever coached, has a ton of respect for him. You could tell that with the emotion and the reaction to his sudden retirement last October. So, like I said in the first hour, K-State's administration has done a lot over the last 5 or 6 years since it's been turned over to, you know, John Curry and Kirk Schultz. But this is right up there with my favorite moves that they've made.
And he goes back fairly far with Bill Snyder to about 20 years ago, and this is a cool story about Bill Snyder helping him out back when he was really trying to get on his feet and turn around the Southern Illinois program.
And when I went to Southern Illinois, I called Coach up and asked him for, some time, and he said, you're from Kansas, and, you've done a good job, and, I'd love to have you come up here and visit, and I was fortunate for him to take the time, and it wasn't an hour of his time. He spent about 6 hours with me, and because I was going into Southern Illinois to try to turn that program around. So that's where we started a relationship, so I guess that's 20 years ago probably.
So I'd imagine that may have a factor in why he winds up here now. Something Bill Snyder did 20 years ago can come back and end up helping him now here in 2016.
And would any of us be surprised if after the announcement was made of his retirement last October, if 3 or 4 days later, however long it takes the mail to get to Minnesota, if he got a handwritten letter from Bill Snyder or even more than that, got a phone call from him, reaching out to him? I think that there's probably been a rather consistent communication between those two. And that just means that they're off to a head start in what they're going to try to accomplish together with this new professional relationship.
Well, as far as the timeline here, John Curry said it was about a month ago that he really sat down, had a cup of coffee with Jerry Kill and his wife, and the conversations began going from there. Then at the Big 12 meetings in Phoenix a couple weeks ago, that's when he really got Bill Snyder involved. And since then, Bill Snyder and Jerry Kill have met, and now it's official. Jerry Kill is here as an associate AD and basically a liaison between the athletic department, the football program, and administrator here at K-State. We'll have Jabroni of the Week from Mitch at 5:50, a little bit on the Royals and Yordano Ventura at 5:40. But coming up next, you'll hear from Andy Greeter of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He has covered Minnesota. What's the Minnesota reaction to Jerry Kill being hired here at K-State? And if everyone really seems to like Jerry Kill in Minnesota, why didn't Minnesota keep him on in their athletic department? You're listening to The Game.